Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, this is Chris Chadwick coming to you live from BarbecueSuperstars.com. This is the first show tonight. We're really excited, pumped up about it. We want everybody to call in and let's talk some barbecue. Let's talk smoke. First caller, we've got Lulu's Barbecue out of Missouri. Let's hear you.
What's going on today, Chris Chadwick?
What's happening, my brother? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a little hot, but got kind of cool, been good weather, good barbecue weather anyway, ain't been raining too much on us.
Tell me about it. It is the perfect barbecue weather. I mean, it's been cooler, it's not 110 in the shade, just a lot of smoke going on right now. What's new with you? What's been cooking? Tell me about it.
Well, we've been cooking about every day of the week, keeping everything pretty much tuned up on our rig and our cookers and our skills. 28th, we're heading down to Dyersburg, Tennessee to start in our first NBM contest down there on the 28th. We'll see how that rolls out, which we're usually. What was that, Chris?
That's all right. Keep going there. Keep going. You're fine.
Which we'll usually do the KCBS contest, so this is going to be a new experience for us. Kind of see how their organization works out a little bit. It was a some of the dates for KCBS we wasn't able to get into since we had a lot of catering jobs and events coming up. So we thought we'd kind of spread our wings a little bit and try something a little different and a little new and see how it works out for us.
Man, that sounds exciting. You know, it's always hard to hit those tournament dates. KCBS, you branch out to the NBN. It's a little different ball game there, but I know you're going to be excited and fired up about it. Dyersburg, it's always a pretty good show down there. I think last year, you know, Shane Draper, he cooked with us over there in Benton. You know Shane?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I think he was a judge. He judged some of that last year, but they have a pretty good show over there. I think it's about a 30-team show. I was talking to Craig Wilkerson, WBQ, the other night, and I think they're going to be there competing as well. Guys, yeah, if y'all don't know Lulu's has got a fine rig. We competed in Benton, Kentucky first year, and I was fortunate enough to get to meet them, and they're some great guys, and we've got a mighty fine rig, and they cook some mean barbecue. I mean, they cook it every day. They're just somebody to know. We had a big time in Benton, didn't we?
Yes, sir, we did. It was a good time, big showing. About 40-something teams, I do believe, was there.
Yeah,
I think we ended up taking 7th in ribs is what we ended up doing there. So we had a pretty good showing for the Cars Contest of the year.
Well, you know, me and a friend of mine, we went down to Tupelo to the Don't Be Cruel Barbecue Duel and got to spread our wings, so to speak, and go down there and cook a little bit, and just had a huge time. Had a big time down there. But, Benton, that was your first cook of the year?
Yeah, it was our first cook of 2012, which we've only done two. We went to Kennett, Missouri, and we had a 5th in pork overall, I think, out of 40-something teams. But we just haven't had a whole lot of time to be able to get into the contest like we want to this year. Last year we did several. You know, we did pretty good. That was our first year actually cooking contest. So, you know, this year we're going to look and see what happens here later in the year. Maybe travel to the rural. Probably going to go to Tunica, Mississippi, to the NBN down there and see how that one goes. And then if we can, might end up in Murfreesboro. But we plan on going to the American Rural this year.
That's got to be exciting to go down to the rural. Now, what categories are you planning on entering in Dyersburg?
In the NBM, we're just going to be doing ribs is all we're going to focus on since it's our first contest. I don't believe we're, you know, under the gun against anybody for, you know, being the first contest that we've done there. I do believe we're equally matched against anybody that will be down there. So, you know, all I can say is really just be ready because I'm really not a rookie, and I'm not going to be a rookie when I walk in. I plan on
much
walking
away
with it. So
that's right.
That's what we plan
on
staying
at. You don't rookie at all. You got it. You've got a good chance down there. I mean, them guys, there's a lot of guys. It's a pretty even playing field down there.
Yeah, I feel real confident walking into it with, you know, our setup, our rig, cookers. You know, personality-wise and food I'll be cooking, you know, I plan on being at least in the top three. I really do see it happening. So we'll just have to get down there and see what happens and go from there.
Well, I'm excited for you. You know, in the NBN circuit, your flavor profiles are a little different than the KCBS.
Right. And now I do that. We'll play into our advantage is what we're looking for. The ribs I cook every day, my notorious ribs everybody loves, they just did not fly over with the KCBS judges. Actually,
right.
The ribs I cook for KCBS, I don't even like them. But that's not what I like. It's what the judges like, and that's what I'm going for. So I think when we go down to Dyersburg, these ribs will be spot on for a Memphis-style rib of what they're actually looking for out of a competitor. So got real high hopes for them in the NBN contest.
No doubt. You know, you hear that from a lot of cooks. You bring that up. You don't even like what you cook and turn into the judges in KCBS. You know, their flavor profiles are so complex, and so it's basically sweet candy is what they're always after. And you're not the only one that says that, and it's tough to try to do that flavor profile.
I always see the notorious two ingredients, the blue bottle of butter, as Johnny Tregg uses, and then the bag of brown sugar. It's like everybody wants to take that bag of brown sugar, dump it on a slab of ribs, cover it in butter, wrap it in lemon foil, and let it cook away. That's just, you know, I just don't like it. But, I mean, I guess if you're winning, we've had first-place stuff to taste from other competitors that was next door to us that beat us and actually tasted their food, and, you know, and ours was better, you know. But, you know, it's just not what they was looking for on that day. So I've cooked some bad food, and we've won some stuff, and I've cooked some really good food and, you know, and took maybe 20th place and just couldn't see how that was even possible. But, you know, just whoever it falls on the table with, pretty much what you got.
Well, that's true. That's true. You mentioned the blue bottle, the parquet margarine. I mean, that's
oh,
him. Yeah,
that's number one ingredient barbecue.
I'm telling you, if it's not the squeeze butter, it's the spray.
Yep.
And you're right, and the brown sugar, that's, you know, but that's what they're after. I mean, and that first cook we went to this year, you know, my flavor profiles was way off course than what, you know, what the judges wanted down there. You know, it was definitely an experience for me, too. But, you know, I love the competition circuit. I love the KCBS. I had the good fortune of going down to Memphis in May this year. Barbecue Superstars was there live. We got to interview several teams, go into several places. I mean, we just had a huge time. But all the flavor profiles were so much different. Whole hog category. I don't know. Are you set up where you can compete whole hog? Do you have a whole hog cooker on your rig?
Yes, sir, we do. We have a whole hog cooker. It's something we haven't tackled yet. We look forward to getting into the whole hog. Just haven't tried it out yet. There's really no place where we can get a whole hog at right now. And as soon as we figure that out, we'll start tinkering around with it. I mean, we got a big cooker, so.
That's right.
Playing all some of it, but that's all I mean.
That's right. Now, we cooked a whole hog not long ago, and something I noticed, if you follow Pitmasters at all, watch any of the Pitmasters, that finale when Johnny Kertrieg was cooking, he had said that he had never injected the first piece of meat. And like me, when I cook my shoulders, our butts, I never inject those. How do you feel about that? Do you inject?
No, we don't. We used to. We started out doing that. I do not see a difference in it. you know, unless you're just injecting a lot of seasoning into your meat, basically like a turkey, when you fry a turkey, you can see that one little line of seasoning through it, but
yeah,
that's about
yeah.
it. But, I mean, on butts or anything like that, I mean, we don't inject. So.
Well, I understand what you say. You know, there's a lot of guys that do, and they've got different types of injection marinades, and, you know, then it proves out for some of them. It's just,
right.
You know, for me personally, I've never been able to really hit nor get to walk when I've tried to inject. I believe in a good old-fashioned solid rub and a lot of heavy smoke. Now, when your cookers now, are they stick burners or are you using, what do you use to cook with when you're cooking?
I'm a pellet cooker. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All the hands are going up across the station. But,
no,
I mean, pellet cooking, you know, I look at it one way. It ain't no different than anybody else's. If you're going to use a Guru, if you're going to use propane, if you're going to use anything other than sitting there watching that temperature and opening the stacks back and forth, you know,
right,
you got the
right.
same thing. You know, I had a stick burner. I used it. I love cooking turkeys on a rotisserie round pit out of from Nolan's Custom Pits out
right.
of Sykes, Missouri. I love, you know, cooking turkeys on them. But for everyday use and competition cooking, I don't want to mess with it. I can pull out the same quality of meat. Actually, I can pull off a better quality of meat off my pellet cookers than I can off a stick burner because I don't have to worry about, you know, anything else. I don't have to worry about too much fire or, you know, anything like that. And that's what I like about it. I can sit there and generate what I need to do with it. Worry about the meat, not the fire. You know, if we was pit masters that, you know, went to fire contest, I guess that's where we'd be at, but we're in meat contest, and that's one of my main goal is to make sure I turn in the best meat, not the best fire. So, that's my outlook on it.
Well, hey, you know, everybody's got their own way of doing it. And I grew up, and I've always cooked. I do have a stick burner, which it's a custom built pit that I built, and it's
yes,
a lot
sir.
Of work. You're right. Now, see, that's one thing I was really noticing. You know, when we were cooking in Benton that last comp that we cooked together in, y'all just had it made. I was over there working my tail off, I'm telling you. and I was just thinking, you know, man, these guys got it going on, which that's the only way I've ever cooked. But, you know, you got it going on, and that's all right. There's no problem there at all. I don't know, have we got, Daryl, have we got you on the line? I don't know if Daryl's on the line or not. This is our first show. If anybody's just tuning in, just listening, this is Chris Chadwick with Barbecue Superstars. I do have a cook team, Hall County Cookers, here in Tennessee, and we got Lulu's Barbecue on the phone out of what part of Missouri are you from?
We're out of Charleston, Missouri. Home of the world's
okay.
largest fireworks.
Can't
miss us right there on 57.
All right. Well, I noticed y'all had a lot of stuff going on here in July around the 4th. Y'all had the fireworks going off and the barbecue going out the door. Evidently, y'all hard workers. Have to be hard workers.
Yes, sir. We pretty much work 24/7 is what we do. It's a full scale operation. Little sleep, but you know, this is what we love. So, you know, it's where you're at. It's either you can do it or you can't do it. It's basically like anything else. You put everything into it, you don't want to watch anything go away, you just want to make it better. So, you know, that's where we're standing at. You know, 2 years ago we started out, we had two cookers and a tent. I mean, we're sitting on a 24-foot customized trailer. I mean, stainless steel kitchen. We got five 1,500 square feet cookers, and then we got one massive cooker that we carry around the event. So, I mean, we have come a long way in supporters and our customers and, you know, people that stood behind us, and that's one thing that really fuels our fire is to, you know, see the smile on people's face and the respect that you have earned to the community and the surrounding areas. And, you know, just watch the word travel of how your food is. And people come from Memphis. They come from over in Kentucky. They come to St. Louis. I mean, they just pass through and come back, and they'll just drive all the way back, just come back and see us. And you just don't see it from a catering service out of a concession trailer. And people always say, well, you got a concession trailer. I said, no, I have a business. I have a family business, and every customer I have is a family customer, and they come back to us, you know, every day or weekly, or they come every couple of weeks, or, you know, they'll drive through. I had a guy, I had to move from my spot to where I was a couple of weeks ago. I've been there 2 years. We was there and had a guy from Wisconsin. His wife lives right there in Charleston. He's from Wisconsin. And they live during the summertime. In the wintertime, they go back up to Wisconsin. In the summertime, they come down to Charleston. And the past, he said the past 3 years, and it probably was the past 3 years because I started at the end of the year. He said every year when we leave the house to come here, he said, I always look forward to seeing you. I always know where you're at, and I always know you're going to be right here. And he says, this is always the first stop I make. He said, I've traveled many places in my life to eat barbecue. He said, but this is the best barbecue I've ever had. And that comes out of a lot of people's mouths, and that's what, you know, really fuels us to put out the best product we can. So, you know, I'm going to take this product that we know, and we're going to put it in the Memphis contest and see how she rolls out and see how she does this year.
That's right. We're going to let the smoke roll, ain't we?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
Got the big sticker up on the back of the door. Let the smoke roll from Chris Chadwick.
Smoke roll. That's right, brother. That's right. Well, you know, that's the thing about it. When you love to do it, when you love to barbecue, you're cooking, you've got the passion. You've got to have the passion to cook right, you know. That's just no doubt about it.
I always say barbecue is basically like blues music. You know, everybody has their own soulful feeling about barbecue, their taste. And that's why there's so many different tastes in barbecue from different people, you know, raspberry vinaigrettes, you know, southern cooked barbecue, you know, all over the different United States.
Right.
Barbecue is something that comes from inside you, that what you have put on your plate for somebody else to eat, and they're tasting a little bit of you. You know, B.B. King's got his guitar, his prized possession, he calls Lucille. I guess you can say this red 24-foot trailer is my Lucille, because without her, I don't have anything.
Well, you know what that is, don't you? You know what it's called? It's called Little Soul.
Yes, sir. That's where all mine comes from.
That's
it
right.
It comes deep with the inside.
Well, you know, that's what you have to have. You have to have that passion. You got to have that love to do it. And it's not, you know, to put out a product, you have to know what you're doing. You have to put it right on point and just make it the best it can be. And when you have these people coming back to you religiously, time after time after time again, that reaffirms and confirms what you know and what you want to know, that your barbecue, you're doing it right, you know, and it makes you feel good inside when something like that happens. And
yes, sir, it does. It really does. You know, everybody always says it's about the money. It's really not about the money. I mean, we make good money. We do well. But it's really not about the money. It's the satisfaction that you can see in people's eyes. And the feeling when they're sitting in their cars and they taste it, and you just see that look on their face, and they're talking to their husband about, you know, what this is, and they get out and they tell you, I ain't never had anything like that before in my life. You know, it fuels you to want to be something better than what you're even doing now, to make you move to the next step, to want to move up. And that's why we're kind of getting into the NBN contest, because we're going to go to Memphis and Mays, where we're going to end up being for too long is what we're going to try to go to. So we're going to try to get there. You know, that's the main goal of everybody. You know, American Rule and KCBS, Memphis and May, you know, to win the championship, get to Jack Daniels.
Right.
That's the three big ones. That, you know, that's where you want to be. Nothing else really matters. It's just, you know, it's kind of like penny sitting on the ground. Nothing else matters, and that's the way I would look at it. Every contest I go to, it don't really matter to me, because I'm leading up to where I want to be, where we want to be, and where we're going to be at. And, you know, we've set our goals, and we'll meet our goals for too long. But, you know, it's a long step process. It's kind of like country music singers. You know, they might go to Nashville. They might be there 15 years before they get the break. But they'll get that break every once in a while for too long. So
we're
just a little bit ahead of the game. You know, we started out 2 years ago. We didn't know anything about barbecue or anything else. And, you know, we've done well for ourselves. And, you know, as soon as we get that break, we'll be, you know, where we're going to be. So one of these days we'll be household name, like a Meyer Mixon or, you know, something like that. That's our goal. So,
well, you know, there's nothing wrong with having that drive and that desire. That's what we're all after. We want to be the best we can be. That's why we go and compete.
week in, week out. We want to go to Memphis in May. We want to do the Royal. We want to go to the. We want to be invited to the Jack. We want people to know us for who we are and what we put out. You know, just like that's right. You say Myron Mixon, Tuffy Stone, Johnny Trigg, Chris Lilly, the Orsons, Brad Orson, the Shed Bar. There's a lot of greats out there. They're all greats, and there's a lot of great cooks that we don't know about. And
correct. That is, you know, that is correct. There's a lot of underdog cooks that a lot of people don't know about. And, you know, it's just about getting that one break, really, is what it's about, to, you know, getting your name thrown out there. You know, we tried out for Barbecue Pit Mashers. We didn't get on. You know, I thought we had a pretty good chance. Just didn't happen. We've seen, you know, several people on there we've cooked against.
Yeah.
And we've seen a couple people we cooked against that screwed up some things on there. But, you know, that's
right.
Just like every day in cooking. You never know what's going to happen till the end. Everybody's always equal. No matter what you got $50,000 invested or you got $10 invested, everybody's on an equal playing field. And any day of the week, somebody can take that grand champion home and knock off the top. Does it mean you're the best? No, it don't mean you're best, but you was the best for that day.
That's right, I feel you. I know what you're saying. You know, you get out there and you don't know until you unwrap, until you get in ready to make that box what you're going to have. You can cook it the same way religiously, consistently, and the product come out different every other time. You know, it's never going to hit the same twice. And that's just that's where that chance, that small chance that you can win, or this other team's going to win, or this other team's going to hit, and you're going to get the walk. You know, when you get the walk, it makes you. You know, people don't understand when if you're not getting a walk, or they don't know what walk. What's somebody asked me? What do you mean walk? That means when you walk down, when that name's called, and you walk, go get that trophy. That makes you feel good when you've cooked against a lot of your peers and your friends, and they're all good cooks. They're fine.
Yep. And, you know, that's the one thing a lot of people don't understand. Around this area, within a 150-mile radius of Memphis, on up north and over in Kentucky and into Arkansas, are some of the best cookers in the United States. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, that's the head main competition, you know, is right here in central United States. And, you know, we cook against some of the best. And, you know, that's one of the things that you got to look at. And that's one of the things I always look at, you know, who's going to be there. And, you know, that's pretty much what you got to compare yourself to. It's not whether or not you lose or if you win. It's always decipher how, you know, we did that day. When I put stuff in that box, I said, hey, we're going home winners today. Whether we win anything or not, you know, we put stuff in there we know we could win with. And every day you're not going to win. But as long as you know you put it in there and you know you're a winner before they call your name, you know, that's one of the biggest satisfactions that you can have. And I think it's one thing that helps us out the most is that, you know, we cook every day. You know, everything that we cook is usually right straight where it needs to be from, you know, just having
right.
to cook every day.
Right.
It's just right there. We know where it's at, and it helps out. And, you know, a lot of people do contests. They don't cook every day, and they don't have that privilege to be able to cook every day other than going to contests or, you know, cooking a little bit in the back, you know, in the backyard
right.
a little bit.
Yeah.
You
on
know, it does,
right.
it really does make a big difference to be able to know, you know, your grill, know the temperatures, know your meat. Just by looking at the meat, I can, you know, we can tell which ones are the main butts we want, or we can know which ones the ribs are, or the chicken, or the brisket. Just by, you know, just seeing it and feeling it every day, we know what it's going to be. And, you know, it really helps out a bunch. So experience is really key. So we've gained a lot of knowledge here in the past 2 years to really help us out. So, you know, that's, you know, one biggest thing I can pass on to a lot of people is, you know, come home and cook every day. That's all I can really say. You know, you learn everything. So
that is a huge advantage that you have over a lot of these competition cook teams that go in. They cook one weekend a month or two weekends a month. When you cook every day, you're on top of your game. And, folks, that's key. Competition cookers, they cook all the time. They work on it all the time. They cook every day and are always perfecting and trying to outperform their previous cook. And, Lulu, you got a big advantage doing that. I mean, they're just, when they cook every day, you know, you've got a huge advantage over a lot of guys. And you're on top of your game. And let me tell you, folks, they've got some fine barbecue. They put out some fine products.
it's like, you know, like my personal team, we get to cook one, two a week, two a month, and, you know, you're always fighting that fire and changing this and that when you're not consistent. And when you get to cook every day like that, you're on the money. You ride on the money. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if we've got any other callers yet. Any other callers on the line? Okay.
There's two more callers. I'll put them in for you.
Okay, Big D. Sounds good, brother.
Big D. Hello.
Hello. Who we got here?
This is James Bronner, a.k.a. Goop. Grilling and chilling, brother.
Good. Welcome to the show tonight.
It's smoking, brother, from another mother. I'm here. I finally got here. He wouldn't hush up, man. I was trying to get in here. I said, man, I won't talk to him so bad.
Well, join right in with us, brother.
I'm excited. This is your first show, and it's my first show, too. But I'm going
to
leave you, brother. I'm here.
We're glad to have you.
Daryl, are you there?
I don't know if Daryl's on right now or not, but...
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, the colorful friend, brother. I'm here.
Daryl, this is James Bronner, a.k.a. Goob, grilling and chilling. Hall County style. This is me. This is my partner.
That's
when we
right.
went down to Tupelo.
Tupelo. That's
we,
right, brother.
We also went to Benton and cooked over there with Lulu's over in Benton, Kentucky. Had a big time. He's here to support me on my first show, too. My friends, appreciate you calling in and helping me out here.
Man, I love talking to you. Yes, anybody wants to talk to you, I love talking to you.
We've been doing a good job so far. We talked about MBN. Lulu's going to MBN, Dyersburg, Tennessee.
I've had a couple of people on my butt about going to Dyersburg.
Yeah, I know.
I knew it was MBN. I didn't know, but he's got the right idea. I maybe need to go down there and maybe just try out a little bit. Maybe do some ribs or just do, you know, one category and get my feet wet.
That's what he's doing. You know, he cooks all the time, and he's going to go down there, and he's entering the rib category, and he's sticking to his guns with his flavor profile. He's not going to do KCBS, you know.
No, his stuff's good. His stuff be good down in Dyersburg. Ain't no doubt about there. I know. This country. And all around in this area here, it'd be good.
And I think you ought to go down there and cook the whole hog, dude. I think you'd do good on that.
Oh, we talking about how we gonna cook it? Are we gonna show out? Or are we just gonna cook it like they want to cook it? I mean, we gonna pack it full of taters and sausages and links and stuff, or are we just gonna go down there and kind of put some seasoning on it and see if we can turn it it up?
That's what you got to do. You got to turn it. You got to turn it without burning it, brother.
You got to turn it without burning. That's it, brother.
That's
right.
Like Johnny Trigg says, keep it simple.
That's right. You got to keep it simple. Pull out that blue bottle of Parquet.
Cover it up.
I'm going to tell you something. That Parquet, the brown sugar, the honey.
Well, you know, I heard y'all say, you said, sometimes you have the squeeze bottle and the spritzer. Brother, I don't go to a competition without at least both of them. Two of both of them.
Keep
squirting it. It's got to get better.
Well, we learned that at KCBS. We learned that at the KCBS. I did at the KCBS
I seen a long-haired fella slip across the back of the yard, come right up behind our cooker right there and hand you off a bunch of stuff. He was going to be slick and call it different names, but we knew what he was doing.
Yeah, that's right. Good friend of mine, Bill Arnold. If anybody knows who Bill Arnold is.
Oh, Mr. Arnold.
That night in Benton, he eased back there, and he come over there, and he brought me a mop and brought me a little bottle of oleo, which a lot of people don't realize what oleo is. That's parquet. That's margarine. But that's what
he used
to call it back in the day. Yeah. And he said, here, son, here, use this right here. And you know, hell, ever since I've used it there, I've used it here, I've used it there, I've used it everywhere. And
so it sounds like Dr. Seuss's barbecue.
There you go, Dr. Seuss's too. There you go. But you can't do without it, you know, sometimes. And boy, on Pitmasters, if anybody was watching the Pitmasters, they were using it. They were using it like it was going out of style. And you know, flavor profiles, I enjoyed watching every episode of Pitmasters. It was a good show. I just wish they would have put more time. I know it's hard to get all of it in an hour, but just put some more time in the talent and the techniques of each cook. You know, you had some great cooks there and some fine people cooking, and they were just spot on. And that goes to show you the best cooks in the business, there's always something that can come up unexpected, and that's just how it rolls. You know, when you're at a comp, that's just how it rolls.
It's just like Bill when he brought that polio over to us that night and stuff. You know, he didn't tell us how much to use and when to use it. You know, and that's
no.
kind of stuff. And when they're doing that right there, I mean, that's their tricks of the trade. They've run that over 30 years, so they're not going to get that. They don't say when to put it on and how much to put it on and what they put with it, you know. You know, so you got to respect the right, you know. You know, they're going to try to be in-depth if they can. But, you know,
that's right.
They earned them credit, you know.
That's right. They did. They worked hard at that a long time, and I respect that. A lot of people respect that. I know some people might not understand it, but in competition queue, you've got everybody. When you go to a competition, you're all there to have a good time, and you're there to help each other if they need it. Most of them are.
You know, that's one thing you can say about
trailer.
That's right. It's a big old family.
You know, that's one thing you can say about that.
We all went to go. You know, we all spent our money and stuff, and we all are there. Well, I love them, I hate them. Very family, you know, but also, you know, we're going there to participate in a competition to win.
That's right.
You know,
that's
you're
right.
going to put your best effort out. I mean, I understand, barbecue and like golf or stuff, you're not playing against individuals. You're kind of playing against the course. You're playing against the judges. But, I mean, you went to bring your best stuff. You know, and hopefully that you, when you leave that afternoon or that, you know, two evenings later or whatever, that you come home and you're proud and your people are proud of you, and you know, and hopefully your neighbors proud of you.
You've had a good and you've had a good weekend. Lulu's, tell me how do you feel when you go to compete? You're there, you've got your game face on, but now how do you feel about other competitors?
Well, one thing I can honestly say, you know, the Barbecue Network is really a really tight-knit community. You know, it is a competition. Everybody's there to win. But that's one thing I can always say is that, you know, you always meet a lot of friends. And, you know, if you forget something, if you lose something or need something, I mean, somebody's always there to help you, you know, get through it. You know, everybody's always friends, you know, trying to help each other out. You know, when it comes down to the boxes, you know, you're there to win, and that's what you're there to do.
Brother.
But, you know, nobody says, no, you can't have that, or no, you ain't doing that, or, you know, or you say, hey, you know, I ran off and forgot this. You got anything? Yeah, I got something. You know, we watched a guy drop a – we was at Benton at that contest. We was sitting there, just sitting there relaxing in chairs, and a guy was over there, and he was fooling with his chicken, had in a pan. And he dropped everything he had down the ashes of that grill.
Woo!
Kobe ran over, gave him some hot gloves. He got the chicken out, and I'll be dang if he didn't take second place in chicken over there. Second place, dropped it. I told him, I said, well, at least you did a good thing. I said, the guy got second place. He got second or third. I don't remember which one it was. I said, he dropped it all on the fire. I said, but, you know, if you wouldn't have been there to give him those gloves, I said, he wouldn't have had nothing. I said, you know, I'd rather see somebody else like that win than, you know, anybody else. You know, somebody's always there to help you no matter what, you know. You know, we learned a lot from the redneck grillers. You know, I hated them. That's how we met them. I hated them. You know, we went first contest. I think the second contest we ever did, I think it was at Soxton. in 2010. And we went down there. You know, we thought we had pretty good food. It wasn't that great. It really wasn't. But they won. I said, I watched them win, and I was just so upset and just so, you know, distraught and, you know, put all this work in, all this time. And I was like, man, you know, that's where we actually learned a lot and, you know, knew a lot and, you know, where we're from today. And one of my buddies was there. He said, will you quit sucking? He took my beer and gave it to them, to the Redneck Grillers. And that's how we ended up meeting the Redneck Grillers, and they told us to come down and can it. And, man, we have become great friends and, you know, have been some of the best bunch of guys that, you know, we've met on the barbecue circuit that, you know, there's always around. It's always a fun time, always willing to lend a helping hand, give you some expertise on things, you know. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that's great about the barbecue world. Everybody's always there to help each other. But, you know, like it comes down to it, everybody's there to win, though. But, you know, it's always a good thing.
And folks, when you go to a competition and competing, when you go, what we're talking about, everybody is there. You know, they're all wanting to win. It's natural. Everybody's wanting to put their best product out. They're wanting the judges to recognize them. And we all are there. But what we're saying is, if we need something or something goes wrong or we're in trouble, and you know, we need some help, you know, we can ask somebody and they're going to help us. They don't mind helping, and whether we win, lose, or draw, it's everybody. You never go without meeting somebody new, somebody doing something kind, and that means a lot. That means a whole lot, especially in this day and time. I mean, if the country would act half as good as the barbecue competitors on the circuit with acts towards each other, this would be, you just couldn't even imagine how people would act and respond to each other. I mean, it's, you just never know who you're going to meet, who you're going to talk to, what help tip they're going to give you, or what you're going to do for them. And that's just what I love about it personally. I try and go and compete as often as I can. It's tough because you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because you love barbecue. And sponsors, guys, we've got teams out there that are.
Woo, I need one. Anybody got an extra?
We all need sponsors.
I need three. Sponsors. I need three. Well, hang on just a second. They're talking in the back. I said, I need five.
I'm telling you, you know, we all need sponsors, and sponsors are so important to us. You know, especially competing in sponsors. I mean, the key there is we're out there putting our heart and soul in this product. We will represent your product just as top-notch and as professional as anyone, as you would pay an advertising market to advertise it. So just keep it in mind. If you want to get your product out there, pick you a good barbecue team out, put them out there on the circuit and let them represent your product. Do we have any other callers on the line, Daryl?
Hey.
Got who we got?
Oh, no, this is Toby Lulu. I got disconnected from the radio air broadcast, so I forgot to call in.
Hey, now, folks, one at a time, everybody introduce yourself. Chad, you got about 10 callers, bud.
10 callers, okay. Let's call her. All right, let's introduce ourselves.
580-478.
Yeah, it's Roy from Salt from the Sky.
Okay,
573-233.
That's Kobe Archie, Lulu's Barbecue.
Okay, 731-415.
Hey,
Captain Cindy
Webb,
Pirate Corps.
Pirate Corps in the house. Hey, guys.
All right, one more, 731-707. Who's that? 731-707.
Okay, all right,
yep.
Okay, guys, let's get, who we got on there right now? We got Toby, Lulu's Barbecue with us tonight. We got James Brawner.
with grilling and chilling on tonight. We've got Keith and Cindy West, Pirate Pork. Are y'all on the line, guys?
Yes,
sir. All right. Great to have you. Come on, join in on the conversation. What we're talking about right now is we're talking competition circuit. We're talking about how, Chris, how we act on the competition circuit. Chris, did you hear me? Okay, I can hear you. Who is this?
This is Kevin from Paris, Custom Cookery.
Kevin Hamlin, Custom Cookery, Paris, Tennessee. Glad to have you on, brother. We've got a good show tonight. We're talking competition. We're talking MBN. We got an MBN event coming up. I know next weekend we've got a big Moose Lodge event coming up in Somerville, Tennessee. We'll chime in on that real quick. Kevin, I know you're a big Moose cooker, and so is James Goof. Y'all planning on going down to the lodge? Tell me what's going on there.
Well, it's just a typical Moose Lodge cooking. I'm going down Friday. Won't come till Saturday morning. Captain's meeting will be at 11 o'clock. And you start cooking after that. Tennessee, it's Moose Lodge. They usually have 20 to 25 teams. All the entries go back to the teams except for what they spend on the trophies. They have a bunch of nice trophies. It's a good cook. It's the granddaddy of the Moose Lodge cooking. We're trying to cook them. Biggest Moose Lodge cooking every year. They had 28 teams last year. It's a good cook-off.
I know I've participated in a few Moose Lodge cookies. I am a Moose member now. Pirate Fork, they participated in the Moose cookings. Grilling and Chilling, they participated in Moose cooking. The Moose Lodge.
Oh, brother, you know what I'm going to be at.
I know it. The Moose Lodge cook is a good
cook. I ain't
going
to hardly go down on Friday. I have to go Saturday morning, but we.
Well, they said they'd not have enough cold beer for 2 days, so we're going Friday.
Woo!
Well, we're talking about. And, Keith, you going to be able to make it down to the Moose Cook this weekend?
No, I can't make that one. Got probably 3 more weeks, 4 before I can cook.
Now, I know the following weekend we've got Dyersburg at the MBN Cook. And I hadn't even brought up TBA tonight, guys, but TBA is Tennessee Barbecue Association. We have several members involved in that. I know, matter of fact, all the callers tonight are members, and it's an organization we started a few months ago to spread the word of barbecue and term and circuit cooks, and it's been real helpful. You can look it up and check it out on Facebook as Tennessee Barbecue BBQ Association. Check it out and become a member, guys. It's a great site. Very informative. We got so many callers on tonight. I'm excited about this. This is our first show. I mean, it might be back and forth a little bit, but as time goes on, we're going to be bigger and more callers. And guys, I thank all of you for calling in. It means a lot to me that y'all helping me out and supporting. And the next thing I'd like to bring up real quick, we've got a big cook in Paris, Tennessee that first of August, first weekend of August, and it's a real nice cook. I know they were wanting a big KCBS sanction this year, but I don't think they're going to make it with the sanctioning. But it's going to be KCBS rules. It'll be a real good cook. Now, who's going to – I know I'm planning on going and cooking there. Who else is planning on going down and cooking?
Well, you know I'm in, brother. Anything West Tennessee pretty well, I try to play.
You try to play. What about you think he might make it down for something like that?
Well, I hope not. He might be.
Where at?
I know it. He's pretty tough.
Y'all was talking about his rig before everybody got on. I thought, dadgum, man, let me say something about his rig. If I had one of those, I could win everything.
I'm telling you, it's a mighty fine rig.
If I report, are you planning on trying to hit that when you think, or are you going to...
I got some sponsors on the side I can put on there for y'all.
Look at this. We're running out of oil, man. I'm looking and flagging off of oil. Look at this.
Keith, what about you? You think you're going to be able to hit the Paris Cook this coming up this first August, or are you going to still start at the bag?
Yeah, as of right now, it's being the first of month, I don't think so, but I'm at least going to run through there and visit all y'all.
So that's the thing to do. I know I don't know if I'm going to make it to the Dyersburg Cook or not to cook, but since there's so many guys going down there that we want to know, I've got to go down there and say hi at least and check it out and see what's going on. Just a lot of cooks coming up. Real soon, they're real close together, and everybody knows when you compete one weekend, turn around, you got another cook the next weekend, you got another cook the next weekend. That's hard work, a lot of work involved in that, and it takes a lot of money too. So we definitely want to consider trying to take breaks. There, just and take a little breath. You know, Lulu's, they cook all the time, so they know what I'm talking about. I know a lot of teams do get out there, they travel, these guys, it's just the love of the kids, it's the love of you, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it is about the love of the Q, but can you hear me, Chris?
Yeah, I got you on.
But I mean, it was a survival thing too. So I mean, that's really how we got started. We didn't have a job, so had to create a job. So I mean, hard time makes for hard ways. So it just becomes
right,
something
brother.
Good out of it. So
I completely understand. Yeah, I know where you're coming from there. It's a lot of work involved in that, and it's an honorable thing, and. You notice there's a lot of guys out there in this country doing that now. Matter of fact, the second place runner up on Pitmasters, that's what he does. He has a rolling rib shack. That's how that's just awesome to do that. And it's really a good thing to do, you know. I mean, he give Johnny Trigg, he give him all a run for his money. He was a good cook, no doubt about it. But let's chime in and let's talk a minute about flavor profiles. You know, I know we hit this a little earlier. Flavor profiles is always something we want to talk about every show because it's important. And every cook has a different flavor profile. It might be savory, or it might be sweet, or it might be heat. So I'm just going to ask all of you, what's your main flavor profile? Tell me a little bit about it. Goo, start with you. What do you look for? What are you trying to present when you flavor profile?
Well, brother, I tell you, we've been pounding. You know, as I post today on my Facebook page, whether everybody knows, today is half the barbecue season. If you start it March and you're going to end up November, July 15th, today at lunch, was half your barbecue season. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I used a lot of store-bought stuff. You know, I used 3 eyes a lot, man, and Dan and them, man, they're tearing it up, a beast and stuff. But it just got so expensive, I couldn't afford to buy it anymore, and we tried to start doing something on our own. The biggest thing that helped me, and it's going to be so simple, instead of hand grinding stuff, we bought one of those magic bullets, man, they're grinding. Well, I mean, then I just started putting pepper and salt and stuff like that, you know, and I started making things that taste like those things, you know what I mean?
I just
had to quit one day. I said, man, I can't use this stuff no more because we're not quitting. And then once we started just, you know, making other things and grinding other things, first off, you need to get you a utensil that you can grind something with and start making something with.
Right, right.
Then, when that's not such a challenge, it's just a step by step. First off, you need to start the cooker. You need to see how long it'll burn on two sticks of wood or a bag of charcoal. And
that's
you need
right,
to practice
right.
that. And the next step is you need to do this and do this. How long does that piece of meat need to cook? And then when, you know, you just got it, it's a step by step. Somebody the other day said, well, what? That's practice.
You're right. You got to keep on practicing, there's no doubt about it.
That's right.
So what
but
you're
every
saying,
time that you come to, when you get to a threshold, then you need to get you a piece of equipment, whether it's a grill, whether it's a trailer, whether it's a grinder or whatever, to help you get through that the easiest way, because it's tough. I think at one time they were $100, but I think they're $29 at Walmart now. Magic bullet that'll grind anything. And you just started grinding stuff.
Right.
And
you're
putting stuff together. And brother, I just stopped doing what I was doing and just started over.
Let me say this. What you're saying, you bought your grinder, you started making your own rubs, you make your own sauces now.
Right.
I know a lot of guys do that. Toby, what about you? Do y'all have your own sauce rub? We've been
making our own seasoned barbecue sauce here for the last 3 years. We had seasoned barbecue sauce long before we ever had a barbecue grill. But
my
brother kind of come up with that. You do.
Right.
And I agree with you 100% on the grinder as far as that goes. We grind everything, and, we go through so much season in a week that we couldn't afford to buy it if we had to. But we ain't found nothing better than what we use. And really, it just depends on what meat we're cooking. But let's not try to find a happy medium for everybody. You know, not everybody's a sweet person. Not everybody's a heat person.
That's right.
But
right.
We try to find a happy medium that where you can target a larger crowd of people than you can just a certain amount of people. And that's kind of like where we try to fit in even in the contest. You know, you're going to have so many different styles of judges. And some judges are going like hot, and we know that they're not supposed to judge that way, but they're still human, and they do. So
that's right.
But you want to find something that's going to be a profile to everybody, you know.
Right,
you don't want nothing that's
right.
going to burn their face off, even though if you might like that and you're from Mexico or something, you like a hot chili pepper. But, I mean, you know, you still
got
to remember where you're at, you know. Now, if you're down in Texas, it's going to be different. Cooking brisket and stuff like that, they like the salt and pepper, and that's good for a brisket, really just depends on what type of meat you got and really where you're at. But we pretty much cook the same no matter where we're at. But I know different people in North Carolina, they like vinegar and mustard. And down Alabama, they like mayonnaise also.
That's right.
So.
And, that's right. You're exactly right. What about you, Keith? Well, my report, you use commercial or you use commercial sauce and rub or you make yours? Tell us a little bit about it.
Making our own, especially on our butch, our pulled pork rubs, we've been making that since we started. And then we play around with others on. I've got a rib rub too, but we still play around with others, some store, some mix of store and homemade. And like we discussed before, them ribs and chicken, I'm still working on that nasty stuff. So it'll be some more learning on it. But we got a. Well, kind of like what he said about that brisket, too. We'll do a salt and pepper, and then we got a little bit of other homemade we put on it. So it tries to be a little sweet, a little heat, like I said, trying to hit that middle of the road.
Right. That's him. And on your, so you're making all your sauce and all your rubs. It's imported. Each team has their own flavor profile. And it's important for each cook to make theirs because, that's what they're after, and that's where they get the consistency. What about you, Kevin Hamlin, Custom Cookers? Are you making your own sauce and rub? Are you using commercial? What are you doing, Kevin?
Yeah, my sauce is probably the worst category I ever enter. That and chicken, as you know. The rib rub we get out of South Haven, Mississippi. That is, it's $5 a pound, and you have to order 250 pounds to make it.
Oh, man. That's one heck of an order. You drive down there to pick it up, or you order it?
Now, they'll send it to you, but they got to make 250 pounds to make it at all. And mine, I don't have the money, and I'm out of it. So,
yeah. What place would that be?
Well, I've
That sounds different. Well,
Break it up
on it.
Hey, Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. You're breaking up on it.
Well, I want to get a plug out for Toyota Murray and Clayton Holmes of Tennessee. They're my sponsor. Bio Base USA.
That's quite all right. You know, it's always good to mention your sponsors. Sponsors, we are very important. We appreciate everyone we can get, and you're one of the fortunate ones to have a couple, two or three, and that's really nice. I think Power Report, I think y'all have a few sponsors too, don't you?
We do. We have Matt Pub out of Springville, Paris, however everybody knows them. We have Best One Tire Center out of Jackson. We have A&W Tire Center Leeson out of McKenzie. We have Moody Realty out of Paris, Tennessee. Several others, but my brain is just not thinking correctly right now.
Man, that's awesome. I know every one of you appreciate all your sponsors like that. And they play an important part. They help us with our dream of getting to go and compete week in and week out. And they're very important. So if anybody out there is looking to sponsor somebody, look us up on Facebook. Chris Chadwick, Hall County Cookers. Always looking for one. You've got Power Report, Keith Webb. You've got Kevin Hamlin, Custom Cookers out of Paris. You've got Keith Bronner out of Pringle. That's Grilling and Chilling, Team Grilling and Chilling. All these are on Facebook, and they're all good people. We also like to mention Tennessee Barbecue Association. We want you to be a part of it. Kick in, and don't let me last but least. Don't let me forget Lulu's Barbecue out of Charleston, Missouri.
Maybe look us up on Facebook, Chris. On Facebook, Lulu's Barbecue.
That's right, yep. Lulu's Barbecue.
Lulu's Barbecue on Facebook.
They've got an awesome rig. They've got a great show going on there, and just look them up too. We're all on Facebook. We use that every day. It's a great tool. And without Facebook, I wouldn't be here. That's how I was able to meet a good friend of mine, Daryl Mass, BarbecueSuperstars.com. That's the barbecue network, the only network to be in is BarbecueSuperstars.com. Big D, are you around here, my friend?
Yeah, I sure am. And I just want to thank everybody who's called in tonight. And, man, I tell you, what a great thing. Tennessee Barbecue Association and Chris Chadwick, I tell you, he's going to have a great show. And you guys are going to get a lot of help through this show. And we appreciate you coming on and giving your teams and all. And that's what it's for. And trying to get your name out there so we can get some sponsors up to Tennessee.
Heck yeah. Big D, we sure appreciate it, my friend. This has been our first show on BarbecueSuperstars.com. This is Chris Chadwick, and greatly appreciative of all the callers that's called in tonight. I hope you call in again next Sunday night, 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 Eastern. Be our show, our spot on our show. Following our show will be the members only show for BarbecueSuperstars.com. That's a great show also. Look us up on BarbecueSuperstars.com. Check out that website, people, because it is very informative. If you want to know anything about barbecue, it is on there. Let me tell you, it is completely informative. You can look up anything from how to cook a hamburger to cook a whole hog. It's on there. Let me tell you, folks. It is a great site. Check it out. Become a member of Barbecue Superstars. It's real easy to do. Information is on the page. Big D, I think we're about out of time on the Chris Chadwick Show. We're going to turn it over to you now. And thank you for all my callers to call in tonight. I really appreciate it. And thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Thank you.
See you in Somerville. All right. All right, Big D, we're going to turn it over to you, my friend.
Okay, I thought that was Chris, but it's somebody else.
Let me get a big hell yeah from the redneck girls like me. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! All right, man. Great show. Chris Chadwick Show is going to be on 7 o'clock every Sunday night, 7 to 8. And now it's the Members Live Show, and we want to do a little hour show to give our members a big shout out and advertise their products and stuff. And we have a new member this week, Nard Backyard Barbecue, N-A-R-D, apostrophe S, NARD's Backyard Barbecue. They are a gold member. They came on this week, and we're really glad to have them. And he took a fourth place in brisket in a competition this week that was just really tough. A lot of top name competitors throughout the country were there, and it seemed like the stack of the results were turned upside down, and whenever you got 67 professional teams that go at it the way these guys go at it, you never know what the result's going to be. It was some surprising winners, surprising places, some places that people took. But Dan Kugel did real well. He ended up in 22nd. Bubba Q took 6th. And then we have to give credit to Smokehouse Mafia took 1st. They took the grand championship. And a lot of credit to them. Good job. And we're glad you won. That's a great job. You know, anytime somebody wins, you always got to be happy for them. But, you know, we got a lot of great members, and I want to name some right quick. The Rolling Grill. The Rolling Grill is out of Atlanta, Georgia. And it was the Rolling Grill Private Chef and Seafood. Now I think it's just the Rolling Grill Catering, but he will do Private Chef for you. Eric Thomas out of Atlanta. He was in Greenwood and was one of the top competitors to come out of the competition. He got called and was up on stage, and we love Eric Thomas. And then we got to give a big shout-out to Holy Smokes. Holy Smokes took 4th place. Wow. I mean, that's not very far from Grand Champion. Holy Smokes went in there and did a fantastic job. Gary Lanton and his wife. I don't know if they brought the 3 kids. I didn't see them this week, but he'll actually bring his 3 kids out, too, while he's competing, and might win that thing. And Gary Lanton, Holy Smokes, big-time competitor, great possibility for sponsorship. And, you know, if you're out there and you got products that you're trying to get put out on the barbecue circuit, you know, Holy Smokes is one of those teams that can represent your team very well. And now let's see. Now, Barbecue Superstars has got its own line of merchandise out now, and I've been working on it again this weekend. But folks, we got car tags, then like blankets that you stick your arms in. I don't even know what they're called. Sheets, pillowcases, coasters, of course, t-shirts, polo shirts, buttons, like them little 3-inch round buttons that you can put on, yard signs. Let's see what all we got on here. We got coasters, aprons, clocks, framed tile that you can put hot stuff on, pillows, suede pillows, blanket wraps, that's what you put your arms on, shower curtain, pillowcases, twin duvet, puzzles, bunnies, footballs, baseballs, plush baseball. I think it's like a soft. Golf balls, thermoses, Barbecue Superstars is on golf balls, pitcher frames. Now, I actually did 2 GPSs. I don't know if you could purchase them. If you could find them, you could purchase them. But, oh, wow, we got our next new radio host coming on now, Jamie Motz. What's up, Jamie?
How's it going, Dale?
Hey, man, I'm glad you did good. You did good this weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, we did pretty good. We got 2nd place in Boston Butt and 3rd place in Rio for our 1st big event. I think that's pretty good.
Man, that's real good. Now, Jamie, I know you're big time tailgater down there in Carolina, and you travel around nationally and all that, but you're getting ready to start a great big radio show, man. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Thursday we're going to start the radio show. I'm looking forward to it. Got some people lined up, some special guests. Hopefully going to have a good show. I feel like it's going to be a pretty big show. Going to have inside tailgating on, and We're going to try to share some tips and, you know, answer any questions anybody has and go from there with it, see where it goes.
Man, sounds good. They've got so much new stuff in tailgate now. We was talking to somebody out there in New Mexico, and those cooking discs, they went crazy with those cooking discs in tailgate now. And have you guys ever used one?
A what now?
A cooking disc. It's like a round disc that you can buy now. And
you talking about like that wok disc or whatever?
Yeah, it's sort of like a wok. That's it.
Yeah. No, we haven't really messed with them. I think tailgating is more about grilling. You can do everything on a grill. I mean, you can cook pots and pans on your grill. We baked, you know, we did the KCBS event in Greenwood this past weekend, and we even made apple pie and a peach cobbler on the grill while we was waiting on the meat to get done.
Wow, that's cool, man. Y'all was eating back.
Yeah, we said, well, you know, if you can't enjoy it, what's the point in doing it? So we made a little dessert while we was waiting on the barbecue.
Well, how about, man, Johnny Trigg? Did you get to meet him?
Yeah, it was real nice meeting Johnny. He even walked down there to our site and spoke with us after we walked up there to his site. And my kids got to meet him. My little girl's a huge fan of him, and she got to get a picture made with him, and that just made her day. But, yeah, he was real nice. He said that this was his first time coming to South Carolina. Said he went to Georgia last month for a competition. And he said, this was his first time here. And he said he was enjoying himself, and he may be going to try to make it back all the way from Texas back out here.
Oh, wow. That's a heck of a drive, isn't it?
Yeah. He didn't drive his motor home. He drove his pickup truck and pulled his grill with it. He drove all the way from Texas out here. So it was pretty neat meeting him. And he had his hands full. I mean, I walked over there after we turned in our last turn in and walked over there, and he had brisket right after our last turn in. We didn't do brisket, and he was out there trying to get his brisket ready, and he couldn't do it because there were so many people wanting pictures and everything with him. And he said, well, what's more important, barbecue or pictures? I guess I'll go take some pictures.
Oh, wow. Bless his heart. He's a, you know, he's an icon in the sport. He's won a world championship before.
Yeah, he really is. And he, like I say, he's a super nice guy. He took the time to try and speak to just pretty much everybody that come over there. And that to me, that's what it's about. One thing I learned this past weekend, everybody's willing to help everybody. Danny Kugel.
Pitbulls Up the Smoke.
Yeah, that's it. He come down there and talked with me. And, I mean, first thing he said was, man, if you need anything, I'm right up there. You just let me know, and I'll do my best to help you with anything. I mean, just
that's
super
big.
Nice people.
Yeah, so, Danny Kugel just got a barbecue school just put out, and real nice barbecue school. Got a lot of great information right there, and for him to say he'll help you, I tell you, that guy come out with something that'll make you win it. He's always in the top four or five, but, you know, the results, they were pretty tough this week on the pro division because there's just so many good teams. It was all going head-to-head.
I tell you, that place this weekend had it going on. If you want to see a good show, I'm going to tell you, Greenwood is a place to go. And little old South Carolina, Greenwood was loaded with competition grillers that was just ready to do their thing. I mean, they and not only that, but I got to give a hand to Greenwood. They put on an outstanding show. They were there. They had people going around with ice. They was giving. Saturday morning, they came around and gave everybody breakfast. They had the city police and fire department there monitoring, being sure nothing getting out of hand. I mean, going around emptying just the little things, emptying the trash. I mean, they just took good care of us.
Yeah, you know, the whole town pitched in too. Wasn't nobody pulling back. They was all working together on it.
Yeah, that's a big help. It really is, knowing that you got that kind of help. That city's really wanting to make a good impression and really wanting to put on a good competition. And I'm gonna tell you, that place, it's gonna get bigger next year.
It is. It gets bigger every year, and I tell you what, man, it's going to end up being a real big competition nationally, especially now it's on Johnny Trigg's radar. You know, it'll get talked about, and next year you look around, there'll be 85 or 90 teams. But we're talking about the top rung of the KCBS will be standing out there.
That's right. And like I say, it was several big teams there. I mean, I got to meet Jim Berg this weekend, Killer Bees. He was right behind us. And I met some guys from Charlotte. I can't remember the name of their team, but they actually have 5 restaurants. They've really jumped in 3 years. They've opened up 5 restaurants, and then they try
5 restaurants. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Man.
To be able to do that, especially in that short of time.
Who was the team? I'll be interested to find out.
I can't remember the name of the team.
It wasn't Checkered Pig, was it?
No, it wasn't Checkered Pig. I can't remember.
That's all right. Wow. Man,
they
was
right behind
us.
I'll try to have that for you Thursday. They were some super nice guys, too.
Hey, you want to talk about rock and rolling? Now, that's rock and rolling. Shit,
yeah,
man.
So.
Well, tell us about what's gonna go on your schedule now. I mean, as far as you're tailgating and all.
Well, the tailgating, you know, everything's kind of low key. We're getting some things set up with it. You know, we got quite a few people who's asked about coming out and filming us, and we got a couple people wanting to do some articles on us this year. I'm kind of just letting that simmer for a little bit, and I mean I got some things going, and I'm trying to push this barbecue thing real hard on with it. I really enjoy the competitive side of it, along with the fun part of the tailgating. And right now, the only thing we really got coming up before then is we'll be going down to Myrtle Beach, and we're talking about going to Greer the weekend before Myrtle Beach. Those are 2 KCBS events. And then the Thursday before we go to Myrtle Beach, we'll be at Vanderbilt for the Vanderbilt game. But we really fishing to be hitting the heart of our schedule. We're going with the football season and now trying to do the competitions. We're going to be wide open from now to December.
Yeah, I tell you now, it'll be a game every week, and it's going to be a tough year for Carolina Gamecocks. Now, we know that Georgia got an easy schedule handed to them, and everybody knows they got an easy schedule, and they're supposed to win the SEC East handily. But you know what? Our Gamecocks can do it, and boy, if we could win out our schedule and be at that championship game instead of Georgia, wow, we'll be lined up for the national championship. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, it would, but I'm going to tell you, they say that about Georgia, but Georgia's going to have to come through South Carolina to get it. They got the SEC championship game last year, and we beat them, and I think that's a chip on our shoulder that we beat them, and they got to go to the SEC championship, and we swept the East. I think that's something that's going to be used as a little bit of ammunition. Yeah, I don't think the Gamecocks are going to lay down this year. The Georgia's going to have their hands full, along with everybody else Carolina plays. It ought to be a good year. We got a lot of stability in the program right now, a lot of good kids on the team, and recruiting's going really good. Carolina's doing real good. They're going to be good. Ray Tanner's the new AD. So Carolina's got a lot going for them right now.
Yeah, they do. You know, last year, just to be fair, Stephen Garcia played in the Auburn game, and that one game is what cost us from going to the SEC championship. And, of course, everybody knows that after that game, he was removed as a quarterback from the Carolina Gamecocks. And so we were that close, and really we didn't lose that Auburn game that much with essentially no quarterback back there. So just think, you know, if we'd had Connor Shaw, maybe things would have went different. And so we've got that past us now. And, you know, I'm hearing great things about Connor Shaw. He's a running quarterback. This guy's got some legs on him.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's a good quarterback. He doesn't get in any trouble, and that's something that you need on your offense. There's some stability at quarterback. You need a leader at quarterback, and they really got that in Connor Shaw. And not only that, they got a backup just right behind him, who's going to push Connor and going to make Connor even better. Then you know, at running back, we're loaded at running back, so. I think Carolina's set up to have a good year. It's going to come down to, I think they got the players. It's going to be how they used and how the coaching goes. So hopefully everything's going to turn out good.
Well, either way, we're going to support them. I love the Carolina Gamecocks. I wouldn't have it any other way. And, you know, there's nothing like being down at William Bryce Stadium when they scored a touchdown. And that old Rooster Crows, man, that is something, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I tell you, I've been to a couple of stadiums, and I'm gonna tell you, from top to bottom, from the fans to the tailgating to the band to the stadiums to the players, Carolina top to bottom. I'm gonna tell you, it don't get much better. I'm not saying that there ain't other schools out there that ain't got it going on pretty good, but. You know, a lot of people, they can pinpoint one thing that they got going on good. And I think from top to bottom, we got some good fans. We got some of the best tailgating around. And, you know, now the programs are coming around, football, baseball, got a new basketball coach. Carolina's, they got a little bit of everything going on right now.
I tell you. Hey, I had to play it one time, and you know that football fever's getting on me, man. I mean, I was there for the Auburn game, and there for a few minutes they played the Sandstorm. Everybody got their towels out, and Jamie, have you been inside the stadium when the towels were spinning?
I tell you what, that's something to see. That sea of white towels sitting there swinging in the air, the Sandstorm, and people jumping up and down, and you can feel the stadium moving. And
yeah, the stadium was rocking, man.
I sit right there right beside the recruits, and to see, you know, the incoming high school players is in there for maybe some of them for their first game seeing Carolina play. And to look at the size of their eyes when we're out there jumping around, hollering like a bunch of crazy people in the stadium rocking, it's a good feeling. I tell you, my wife looks at my arms every time, and it looks like I got chicken pox on my arm. It goes through my veins. I get the chills, and it's something to be a part of.
It's goosebumps. You know, the bad part about it in a game is if that music don't get you going, it's just like the whole situation and the crowd will get you going. And it's hard to sit down. That's one thing we ran into when I was at the game is, you know, they got seats and you are supposed to sit down, but we stood up. We ended up standing up just about the whole time because, you know, there's always a play. It don't matter if you're playing offense or defense. You know, you always want to win that play. And, it gets in your blood, and I'll tell you what else will get in your blood is you get down there with finger licking tailgate. Now, I'll tell you what the number one reason is. I really wanted Jamie to do a radio show with me. And, Jamie, I'm going to tell you straight up, man. These guys know how to throw a party. Now, when they get it started down there in the corner, a little bit down from William Bryce up there from that building, I tell you, it gets in your blood. It's as good as being at the game, Jamie. And, man, what all y'all got? You got music, you got TV, you got my man back there singing the national anthem. I mean, you got it all, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, I want to invite people to stop by and check us out. We're on Bluff Road right there at Southern Equipment. it's an experience you will not forget. I mean, if it ain't the national anthem being clucked like a chicken, it's the birthday being clucked like a chicken, or it may be everybody out there dancing, doing the wobble, or it may just be people standing around the grill having good conversation, smelling all that chicken ribs, hash and rice, baked beans and slaw. Macaroni and cheese, homemade bread and meatballs, you name it, we got it. It's just a good time, and I really would like to have everybody come by there and check us out. Stop in, speak. Ask for Jamie. You can't miss me. I'm a big old boy with tattoos on my arms. I got a gamecock on my arm. Just stop by. We treat you like family. And that goes for any fan. That ain't just Carolina fans. Anybody's welcome at our tailgate.
I'll tell you something else about, Finger Lickin' Tailgate. Now, there are some other tailgating people who are all flash, because you might get a little nibble of something, but you ain't going to get much. I mean, you might get a little something, you know, but you go to Ultimate. I got them on my mind because they're the flash. But Finger Lickin' Tailgating is the meat. And I got a video when I just went down, Rod interviewed. I hung around, interviewed. We shot of one of the players' mothers standing there, and I said, "What do you think?" She had this plate, Jamie. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That plate was 3 inches thick and about 8 inches wide. And she looked around. She said, "It's great." And I was like, "Hell yeah, it is great." And man, hey, you know what else? Them people started eating. It got quiet out there.
That's the thing about it. Everybody's having a good time and partying. And when we say the blessing, and that's something we do every time, we say the blessing, the partying stops for a minute. Everybody gets a face full of food, and then it settles down, and we go back to partying again. That's what I say. You know, tailgating, you take and do it however you want to, but I think tailgating's about just having a ton of food, ton of alcohol, and a ton of fellowship.
Yeah.
And it don't get no better now. It ain't about, to me, it's not about all the, like you said, the glamour. I we can put up a bunch of decorations and make it look pretty, but if it ain't a good time, it ain't nothing pretty about it.
Now, I'll tell you now, you know, something that did happen to me, Jamie, and I'll be honest, man, I've never even been to many college football games. I went to Kansas State University game when I was in the Army. But, you know, folks, I went down there to William Bryce, and I was looking around, a lot of people out there and everything, and it seemed like I was, you know, you feel like an outsider because you don't know anybody, and you kind of walking down through the middle, and they probably 20 or 30,000 people right in the general area with you, but you don't know any of them. You ain't really welcome in their space, you know. You walking up, you're like, well, who are you? You know what I mean? But when I walked down in the Finger Lickin' Tailgate, man, it was nothing like that. It was like I was coming home. And, you know, folks, I tell you what the number one thing that blew my mind to start with, half of the players' parents were in Jamie's space hanging out with him. And they had the jersey on with their son's name on it. I'm looking around like, damn. Hey, and you know what? Some of them were former NFL players that had played. And their son was at Carolina now, and they was down there hanging out with Jamie. And Jamie, I tell you, man, how many players' parents do you hang with at a weekend?
Well, you know, we've been fortunate when, you know, like when we went to the SEC championship game, we had several parents that came over there and hang out with us there, and then the word just spread from there. We probably got 10 or 12 players that their parents come in there. And, you know, they don't want people asking them a bunch of questions about how their son is doing. They want to be treated just like any other person's treated. And they come in there and they sing, you know, they're not going to get pounded with, can you get your son to come by here and sign something? Or can you do this? Or can you, how's he doing this, that, and other? They come in there, they sit down, they get their food, and they dance, and they have a good time. And they just feel like it's home, too.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why they chose to hang around. Man, and then it's went from one game to every single game they've been right there with us.
Yeah, and man.
It seems like they bring another parent every time they come back, they bring another set of parents. And it kind of feels good because it's one thing I've always said. We're like a big family at Finger Lickin'. We look at it as every weekend being like a family reunion, everybody getting together and having a good time. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, and I tell you something, man, it'll lift your burdens. You know, it's like you go through a week, hey, somebody down there doing a corporate job trying to get you fired, you know, or somebody's been running their mouth behind your back all week, and this has happened and that was happening and all that. But, you know, by the time you go down to Jamie's and you spend a few hours and hang out, it seems like all that's gone. You come out there, come out, man, feeling good, you know, and if the Gamecocks win, man, what's it like when the Gamecocks win, G?
I tell you what, the party it goes to another level then. I mean, when win or lose, we have a good time. But when they win, and we've been fortunate to only lose two home games in the past 2 years, two total losses at home.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you, when we lose, yeah, we get down, but we come back out there to the tailgate, and then we pick it right back up, and we end on a good note, and we have a good week, and we come back the next week and do it again.
Well, folks, I'm going to tell you now, we went out the stadium about the end of the third quarter, and we still had a lead. We still had a lead in that Auburn game. We went out. I couldn't stand to watch it, you know, because you like. And sure as the world, ended the game with about a minute left. Dang, if the Auburn didn't score, and they got ahead by like 3 points. And, you know, it was a score like 10 to 13. So it wasn't overcome. I mean, it wasn't impossible to overcome. No, it was 10 to 12, and we could have scored a field goal, won it. And, of course, Stephen Garcia, he was running all kinds of circles and directions. You know, he was in the game. At one point, he threw the ball up the stands straight up. I was like, who was he throwing it to? Plus, he's already had a bad day, man. But anyway, you know, after they lost and it was over, you know, even down, they had 5 seconds left. And I said to myself, we can still win this game. And I believe everybody said that. Because, you know, Steve Spurrier and that team, they can do some shit. I mean, just like that Nebraska game, my man Alshon Jeffries, he came out of nowhere, caught the ball in a Hail Mary, fell into the end zone. And but we ended up losing. But, you know, I got to say, man, that don't happen very often. And but you know what? I still felt good. When I went home, you know, folks, tailgate is where it's at. I mean, really, I love barbecue competition because you can learn how to cook. You know, these guys, you get out there and you learn the process of cooking the best barbecue in the universe. And it's a process. It ain't easy. And but, man, tailgating is where barbecue becomes a whole lot of fun and a family reunion on Saturday evening. And, you know, I know pro football is good and all that, but, you know, they were telling us college football got more esprit de corps. I mean, everybody's – it's more about hanging together and working together in college football. NFL and all that, that's a sport. I mean, that's a money sport. You know, it's about big money and all that. But, of course, you know, you want your NFL teams to win, but there's nothing like getting out of the college game and doing that big-time tailgate. And I'll tell you what else. Oh, Mississippi, University of Mississippi with the Grove, they need to look out because South Carolina tailgating is coming through. And we're going to put Jamie right on the very front of this with finger licking tailgating. And we're going to set it up and we're going to roll it up. And we want to have a national champion tailgating program outside the stadium. So when our team, the University of South Carolina, wins the national championship, Jamie from Finger Lickin' Tailgate be sitting out there with the crown for being the national champion in college football tailgating. Now, what do you think about that, Jamie?
It sounds like fun. I tell you, that's something I really would like to see, is you take the barbecue side of it, the tailgating side of it, and you combine the two and have an all-long down, knockout, drag-out competition, and see what is. See, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like if you combine the two, and went from there. Because I'm going to tell you, I think you take some of the tailgaters, and they wouldn't be able to mess with the barbecue side of it too well. And you take some of the barbecue champions and all, I don't know how good they'd do in the tailgating side of it. So I wonder how it would be if you combine the two.
Man, I tell you now, we're not talking about some kind of shacked-up competition. We're talking about real teams, Ultimate Tailgate BBQ, single-licking tailgate. Let's get some Jack's tailgaters who do it all the time. Let's look around the country. Let's don't get the people who just go out to drink and have fun. Let's get the people who got the game on. We need about 30 or 40 teams coming down to William Bryce on a Friday so we can do the game on Saturday and put it out and let it all hang out. And barbecue superstars get in there, shoot TV. We'll see who's up and what's up and who's got the best and who could bring it and who's got the best food. You know, not just here's a little nibble of this and nibble of that. Let's look at the whole package, how much you got, how many people could you take care of right now, and would they get a plate full, would they love it, and what's the atmosphere like? And I got a feeling with that kind of combination of works, finger-licking tailgating is going to be doing real good. What you think, man?
Yeah, I think that would almost be a handicap for everybody else, I'll be honest with you. I just think we do one heck of a job at how we do our tailgating. I mean, we got a system broke down from our setup people to our breakdown people to our DJ people to our saucing the meat people to our cooks. I mean, we got people that do certain things at certain times, and it runs like a well-oiled machine, I'm going to tell you. So, yeah, I'd love to reach out and we see who we can get and try to sanction something like that. Even if it's just one time, winner takes all the pride in the world type event. I think it would be great to be able to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, now I'll announce this on the radio right now. Now, I'm not really interested in sanctioning a barbecue contest because there's 10,000 sanctioning bodies for barbecue. But barbecue superstars would be willing to sanction and come up with rules for tailgating competition. And I might go ahead and start working on them rules, and we'll go ahead and create a barbecue superstars tailgating sanctioning body. But I tell you what, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder, James, and I'm going to get with Jack's tailgater because he's across the country. And we need to come up, the three of us, and I'll go ahead and let Chris Bomer in on it too. And we need to come up with the rules, official rules, for judging, scoring, and then declaring a winner on tailgating competition. Because right now there is none. And I would love, I tell you what, I'm going to go further than that. Let's just go ahead and say it. Barbecue Superstars Tailgating Sanctioning Association. Let's call it that. And Jamie, me and you, man, let's head this thing up. Let's make up the rules and let's officially step out. Barbecue Superstars wants to sanction tailgating competitions. We want to get 30 competitions started off in the country. No, that's too many. Let's do 20 because, you know what, we could do the tailgating competitions the first part of the year and make way for the teams to go to their schools and their NFL teams, and then do it, you know, all the second half of the year. So we'll say 20 contests between January 1st and June 30th, and then from June 30th to December 31st. But I tell you what comes out of this, Jamie, and the reason this is such a big deal is, you know, Jamie goes in there and wins Team of the Year, and you know he's at the top of the Barbecue Superstars Tailgating Sanctioning Association. I mean, then he's ranked number one in the world in tailgating. And so that brings a whole lot of catering and endorsements and all that stuff. And there's no reason why we can't run this like a sport, just like they do the NFL and all that. You know, who's got the best logos, who's got the best stuff, you know, and we'll keep working it up until it's a – because I tell you what, you know, I'll go ahead and say this out loud, and I hope a lot of people don't get mad at me. I love barbecue competitions, and we need it. And it is where the industry is made. You know, barbecue competition is the cutting edge of how sauces, rubs, processed for meat, the number one meat companies, the number one RV and trailer companies for food processing. Just so much stuff, the tools, the utensils, the cookers, the grills, the smokers, everything comes from barbecue competition. That's how important it is. And if we start the Barbecue Superstars Sanctioning Association, Barbecue Superstars Tailgating Sanctioning Association, and we start, let's start doing competitions around the country, because of the struggle of this competition of going out week after week and trying to get your game better and better, by the end of every 20-week process and the team of the year comes out, there'll be so many things evolved. Man, I tell you, Jamie, you'll be out there and you'll have, you know, God knows what. You'll be able to go and set up in a space and in 30 minutes roll out a gourmet meal. You know, I mean, you know, because when you have to work on it, it starts evolving, you know, and I'm much more interested in tailgating than I am serious barbecue competition. I want KCBS to rule that. KCBS does a good job. I don't want to interfere with anything KCBS does. Let them have it all. But I tell you one thing I can bring to tailgating competition that nobody else can bring, and that's radio and television. We get a live feed going on 20 sanctioned events a year. We could come up with one hell of a sports show, which would keep tailgating going 12 months a year because, hey, compete 20 weeks and then go out and do it for, you know, 20 weeks until the bowl games and the Super Bowl is over. So let's work on that. What do you say, Jamie?
Yeah, let's definitely get together on it. Maybe we'll be able to announce it on one of my shows on a Thursday night, get everybody to call in. But I think what we need is everybody to call in Thursday night and give an opinion on it. And we just kind of get this thing going from there. Ultimate Tailgaters, Jack's Tailgaters, they need to call in Thursday, give an opinion. We go from there.
Anybody's interested in tailgating, I will put Barbecue Superstars out there as the sanctioning body. All we got to do is come up with the rules. And folks, we can do this a whole lot better than we did it at Williams-Brice, where, you know, we'll have two turn-in boxes, and you bring it in, we'll do turn-in judging, and then we'll have on-site judging, and you'll get three judges to come by, three separate judges, and you let them taste your food, and you do your show for them, and they'll have a scorecard to score your on-site judging, then come back, and then at the end, you know, we'll pick out the top five teams, and we'll let them come out with their grills, and they can perform a little bit, do a little bit of music, cook up some food, and then, hey, we've got some cheerleaders or some young people there. We'll let them go down the road for all five teams, and then they decide out of those five teams who qualified through the prejudging as to who they say is the number one hell yeah that week. And you know what? It's a lot more entertaining. I mean, that would be entertaining. I mean, if you could get some young people out there jumping around, I mean, that would be a lot of fun. But we'll have to work on those rules, and I want to get you guys who do it every week and got all this experience involved. And we need to make it fair. We need to make it a little bit blind, and then we need to make it a little bit on-site, and then we need to make it – I tell you something that we could do in tailgating that's not done in barbecue competition now is no secrets. I mean, when you go in there to judge, your scorecards are brought out. We'll get a scoreboard everybody can see, and as soon as your score comes off that table, it's rolled up on the scoreboard. You can kind of look over and see, hey, that's what that judge just put down. Did you see that? I mean, when you let judges hide behind the curtain, all kinds of stuff goes on in your mind. You don't know what's going on back there. But when you get the judges out in front of everybody where you put down a 6 or a 7, you got to look up at that team like, what the hell just happened?
Well, you know, it's you you would take the like the KCBS and how it, don't get me wrong, it's a load of fun. It really is. But there's also a very serious side to it. When it's time to start plating that food, it goes from fun to serious. I mean, because you're trying to get your plate right and get the presentation of it right. And when you can combine that serious with the fun and the laughter and everything of the tailgating, and like you say, I don't see why anybody should have to hide anything. Throw it all out there on the table, the judging and everything. And I think everybody will really enjoy it. And it's something I'd really like to work on us getting going. I think it'd be a blast. I think it would not only it would be good because, and I think overall your tailgating experience would get better when come football season after you done these competitions. You ought to be a serious tailgating machine by the time football season comes.
I'm talking about, hey, don't worry about getting a ticket to the stadium. Get you a $10 ticket over here and come on in.
That's right.
You know, they can't hold but 80,000. There's 130,000 people show up for the game. There's 50,000 people outside. Shoot, let's get 20,000 of them up there at the Finger Lickin' tailgate, $10 a head. Now, you get that kind of money flowing into Finger Lickin', they're going to be able to do some stuff.
Yeah.
You'll be able to, hey, you'll set that little square in front of that building on fire, won't you?
That's right. That's what I say. I mean, we need to all kind of work together, get this thing going, get the ball rolling in the right direction, and, you know, see where it goes, see how it grows. A good, healthy competition with a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with that, especially after you've had a long, hard week at work, and then you come out there and you just have a good time. And then you realize, oh, man, I'm actually in a competition. When did this become fun? I mean,
Yeah. I mean, you know, barbecue can't be too serious. I mean, it's what makes the country happy. That's the number one thing in this country that makes the country happy.
That's right. It was fun. The competing KCBS is a lot of fun, but when it comes down to crunch time, it gets serious. I mean, it does. It has to.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of money on the line, and not only money, pride.
Pride.
That's why I say, like this weekend, we got second and third place in our two major categories, and that was our first major competition, and I was really pleased with that. But, you know, after it was over with, I was ready to unwind. I was ready to throw on some music and start doing the wobble and drinking some beer. And there ain't but so much that you can do at a sanctioned event like that. But, like I say, I'd like to combine the both of them and see what it's like. And I still want to continue doing the KCBS also. I'm up for all of it because barbecue is my passion. I really enjoy it. I've been cooking since I was 5 years old. My daddy, we cooked our first whole hog together at 5 years old, and I've been doing it ever since then. And then it went to the tailgating and now to the competition side of it. And, you know, I just really enjoy it. It is my passion. It is something I love to do, and I feel like I could do on a week-in and week-out basis.
Oh, yeah, man. I tell you, you get your life geared toward it. Now, we're going to have some prize money, and the people who win can't go off empty-handed. We're going to have to get some sponsors in here, and, you know, if a tailgate team goes out on a weekend and wins grand champion, we want them to get a $3,000 check for grand champion. That way, if 10 of the teams win on a rotating basis, you know, or 15 of them, $3,000 will help drive a lot of trucks and haul a lot of equipment to the next tailgate competition. So let's go at it like this. The Barbecue Superstars Tailgating Society. We'll do that, and it's all about competition tailgating. I'll start working on it on my website, and now we'll plan our next meeting at the end of Finger Lickin' Tailgating Show. So I get on there about 8:30, and hopefully we'll get some of these other guys to call in. We'll start talking about the rules, and
Then we're going to have to get a rules, get charter, and have to file. And I'm serious about doing this. We are going to start officially tailgating competition nationally, and we'll try to have different competitions in different states. We'll go to different big schools or somewhere around the big school in a town area, and let's get serious about doing tailgating competition. And, man, well, I guess that's all I got. What you got, Finger Lickins?
Well, like I say, everybody tune in Thursday to the radio show, and let's see how it goes. It'll be our first live radio show, full radio show. And call in. Let's get things going. Let's get the juices flowing. It's almost football season. We got less than 50 days till kickoff, and I look forward to talking with everybody Thursday and us having a good show, Daryl. And that's all I got.
Man, that's me. Well, this is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars and Jamie Monks from Finger Lickin' Tailgating. We fixing to head out. And we hope you all have a great weekend. And thank you, Chris Chadwick, for his first show. And what a wonderful job he did. And we know he's going to knock it out the park every time that he gets on there. Well, we're going to head on. Hope you all have a good weekend. Superstars Network production.